Adventure in Flight, J-Mon G. It is a beautiful afternoon out here amongst all this water and trees and seaplanes. There's a beaver over here. An albatross just flew by. A bunch of Cessna 185s on floats, as well as some Pipers, and just a huge variety of airplanes out here on different types of floats, straight floats, amphibious floats. There's a couple of flying boats out here. The whole gamut. There's some light sport type seaplanes and flying boats. And a Sea Ray. I saw Sea Ray flying a little earlier. Just a great mix of people and planes out here. The camaraderie, like I said, they've got the corn cooker going, and they're making everybody some lunch over here. And what a neat deal. What a neat venue. I'm sitting with John Snaps Knapp. Snaps. That, you know, I have to ask that first, is where does somebody get nicknamed Snaps?
Well, in a way, you really don't want to go there, but...
Okay. all right. We're just going to ignore your nickname then? Is that?
Oh, you can use the nickname. There's no problem there at all. It's something I picked up back in the Air Force days in the 50s, and it stuck with me ever since.
Okay, I assume it's not Snap Rolls. It has something more to do with actual snaps. Or snapshots, maybe.
Yeah.
John, you are a field director for the SPA, the Seaplane Pilots Association, and you're responsible for North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Tell us a little bit about your responsibilities there.
The basic thing is coordination with municipalities and the government as far as keeping the waterways open for seaplanes. If anybody has any questions in the area about seaplane operations, they contact me. Places to refuel, maintenance, anything along that line. In fact, my home, I live on the Pamlico Sound in North Carolina. My home is an auxiliary fuel stop-off for people flying from New York City to Florida. We have the facilities to refuel planes there. It's a private setup. It's nothing that, you know, it's not on the map or anything else, but it's an easy place to stop off, and it's sheltered waters, which is your biggest thing.
And, of course, seaplane pilots are always looking for sheltered water to keep the waves down, the swell height down, because, of course, that's pretty dangerous for a float plane if you have too much in a swell.
Well, and the other thing, naturally, is that, you know, we are basically a boat, and boats are noted to leak. So there's always, if you leave something overnight, there's always a possibility of something happens. So you definitely want it on the shoreline or tied up, or better yet, beached. Storm come up like yesterday, you know, it could cause quite a bit of damage. There was, we had a water spout out here, and we also had a warning for 70-mile-an-hour winds through here. This sea base has been very fortunate, being in a protected cove that it is in, and the expertise of tying these planes up. We've actually seen planes out here fly on the moorings. We have yet, knock on wood, to have a plane damaged here in the weeks that the show's open.
Well, that's very good. I mean, your safety record out here speaks for itself then. And you have a lot of reasons for that. You have rules of operation. You have very competent people running the organization out here and the actual area, the harbor, so to speak.
Exactly.
You have harbor masters, and you have radio contact with the pilots, and so you're able to mitigate a risk that way.
Yes, sir.
So you're a seaplane pilot, and many of our listeners have never been in a seaplane. Tell us a little bit about a couple of your seaplane adventures.
Oh, this is, you would not believe the fun that you can have in a seaplane. I mean, I was involved in the Young Eagles program. The Young Eagles program was so successful that the three of us here started a new organization called the Seagulls. And the Young Eagle program was to promote aviation from down 18 and down. So we started this Seagull for the adult community, and a reminisce, you know, we give them a certificate that they've been a refer ride in a seaplane. Here at the seaplane base, we get people from all over the world. I mean, you get people. I had a child from, 8 years old. I had a child here from Switzerland. they don't have seaplanes in Switzerland. And I took them up for a ride, and the looks on their face is just unbelievable. When we're doing a Young Eagle program, I only, out of 141 Young Eagles, I only had one child get scared. Especially the plane I fly, which was an avid flyer, you can open the doors. My wife is scared of heights. You don't have the sensation of heights when you have the doors open. You don't have any reference point. And so consequently, the youngsters, I used to take them off and we'd get about 10 feet above the water, run along, give them the thumbs up, pre-brief them before, and give them the thumbs up, we can keep on going and keep on from there. So it's been a joy to take young people for a ride.
So tell me a little bit about the different type of preparation that you have to do as a seaplane pilot versus a land plane pilot.
That's interesting you brought that up. The Italian press was here one year, and I took them out for a ride. And everything comes, it's just like riding a bicycle, it comes natural to you. I get in the plane, strap them in, make sure the seat belts are tight, fuel's on, everything else. Scan up and down the inlet here to make sure there's no boat traffic, jet skis, whatever. Fire it up. And the seaplane, when you fire it up, you're moving. And we don't have any brakes. So your decisions have to be made at the bank before you even plan to depart. And I never noticed those things. You know, it's just a natural reflex to me. And he wrote a beautiful article, how you reach down and grab the rope starter. At the same time, you scan it around, you yell clear, you got to do this, you got to do that. Seatbelts, doors, latch, fuel on, go. And it's somebody that's on outside looking in. It was so interesting. Some of my exploits here, and one of my favorite
exploits. There's a term. Exploits.
I do make up new words once in a while.
I have a funny feeling that this is going to be a good story.
Yeah.
Anybody who includes their story with exploits.
I took off out of here late one afternoon, and the weather was just about like it is now. This has been a beautiful week, and I wanted to go out and go for a joyride. So I'm out there in the lake, and there's one lonely sailboat out in the middle of the lake with the sails folded. And I come from upstate New York originally, and part of the fun thing of flying a seaplane, if I see a boat that looks like it's disabled, I will fly down and land next to him and say, can I get you gas? Can I get you help? Is there any problem? It's great PR work for Seaplane Flying Association and for seaplane pilots in general.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to go back to the studio for a break here. And when we come back, we'll chat a little bit more with some operational aspects of the seaplane base here. Just talking to you too, John. Thanks for sharing your adventures with us, exploit. I love that word. That's my word for the day. You know that?
You got it.
That's my word for the day. JMIG, we are out at the seaplane base and having a great afternoon. It's perfect weather. It's sunny skies. The temperature, it feels like it's just about 80 degrees. The humidity is low, believe it or not, out here. And it's just a perfect day to be out here at the seaplane base. And John's going to leave, and he's going to go fly his airplane now. So we're going to watch him do that. We've got a couple of operational folks that are going to join us here in just a moment, the harbor master and somebody else from the organization out here at the seaplane base. And we'll wrap this up and go to the showcase at about 2:30. And so we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back out at the seaplane base.